Turn over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I've tried to time myself tonight so that I leave time both at the beginning and at the end for questions. I want to go back to last week. We were in the first eight verses of Mark last week, and I just want to give anybody that had a question about anything we talked about last week, if you have a good memory and can remember back last week, or if you made yourself a note that you wanted to ask something, but I didn't give you an opportunity to ask it at the end, I'll give you that opportunity now. Does anybody have a question about the first eight verses of Mark chapter 1? And don't be shy. Any question's a good question. If the Lord laid it on your heart, it's probably on somebody else's heart. Okay, we'll go on then, starting in verse 9. But if you think of something as we go on, I'll quit a little bit early tonight and give you a chance to answer ask those questions. We're in verse 9, remember last week Mark introduced John the Baptist. He didn't talk about his miraculous birth. He didn't talk about how he grew up or who his parents were or anything like that. He was full grown and he just sort of sprang on the scene baptizing and telling people to get ready for the kingdom of God. Tell them to get baptized as a symbol or for their repentance of sin, that they're going to turn from their sin and they want to participate or they want to be a part of the kingdom of God that's coming. Now, in the same way, tonight in verse 9, he introduces Jesus. Now, he did mention him in verse 1, where he says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But in verse 9, Jesus just sort of springs onto the page, just like John the Baptist did last week, when he says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Doesn't say anything about his eternal existence like the Gospel of John does. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and existed with God forever. Doesn't say anything about that. Doesn't say anything like the book of Luke did about, you know, his miraculous birth or who his parents was. He's full grown, 30 years old. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he comes from Nazareth, and he's baptized of John the Baptist. Now, back in Jewish days, back in these days, a Jewish rabbi waited until he was 30 years old until he started his public ministry. And over in the book of Luke, chapter 3, Luke tells us that that's exactly how old Jesus was when he started his public ministry, 30 years old. Now, we also know from the book of Luke, and let me just put a couple of things together for you, that when the angel spoke to Mary and told her that she was going to have a child conceived by the Holy Ghost, one of the things he told her that her cousin Elizabeth, who was old and well past the age of childbearing, was 6 months pregnant with a little baby boy. Of course, we know that little baby boy was John the Baptist. And so Jesus was 30 years old when he appeared here to be baptized. We can only assume, and I think it's a good assumption, that John the Baptist waited till he was 30 years old before he started preaching in the wilderness, which means that John had been preaching for about 6 months at this point. He'd been out there, again, calling people to repentance, calling people, said, hey, prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight his path, the kingdom of God is at hand. And again, he baptized people as a symbol that they were repenting from their sins, turning from their sins, and they wanted to participate or be a part of this kingdom of God. And so Jesus came, and he came from Nazareth. Now, we know that he wasn't born in Nazareth. Somebody tell me, where was Jesus born? Bethlehem, right. He was born in Bethlehem. And he ended up in Nazareth because when Joseph and Mary, his mother, came back from Egypt, where they'd gone to flee from the king Herod, who wanted to kill him, they heard that Herod had died and Herod's son had taken over, and they said, "We're not going to go back to Bethlehem," because remember, Herod went into Bethlehem after he figured out the wise men weren't coming back, and he killed all the little babies, 2 years old and under. And Joseph, warned of God in a dream, said, "We're not going to go back to Bethlehem. We'll go to Nazareth." Joseph, they moved into Nazareth. Joseph was a carpenter. We assume, and really there's no scriptural basis for this, but we assume that Jesus became a carpenter and followed in Joseph's footsteps. And here's a question I was thinking about this week. How old do you think Jesus was when he became aware of who he really was? Now, we know that at 12 years old, according to the book of Luke, he went to the temple with Joseph and his mother. And remember, they started to go back home, and they assumed that he was in the crowd, and after 3 days, they came back to Jerusalem, and they found him in the middle of the teachers asking questions and answering questions. And his mother said, and I'll put it into my own words, "You've scared us. I mean, you didn't come back with us, and we were worried about you, and we've been looking for you for the past 3 days." And Jesus said, he said this, "Didn't you know that I had to be about my Father's business?" Now, it wasn't the carpenter business. It was about his heavenly Father's business. So at 12 years old, he knew who he was and why he came. Now, how much younger do you think he was? I've read all sorts of I'm just asking this as a rhetorical question, Bev, so I don't want you to answer, okay? I'm gonna tell you what I think. There's no scriptural basis for this, but I believe that when Jesus was old enough to reason, that he knew that why he came. He knew his mission. I just want you to think about it. And I don't know, let's just pick an age. Let's say he was 8 years old, 7 years old, when he knew, "Hey, I am the Son of God. I have come to die for people's sins in their place." And if he was 7 years old, for 23 years, he had to wait. He waited. He worked. He grew. He matured, however you want to say it. But I think as his 30th, in fact, I think when he was 29 and a half years old, and he heard about his, I guess it would be his second cousin, John, when reports started coming back to Nazareth that hey, here's this guy that's come from the wilderness. He's preaching about the kingdom of God, that Jesus' heart was just stirred. And, you know, he sort of rubbed his hands together. And he said, "Boy, it's getting close. Just a few more months, and I'll get to go, and I'll get to start my ministry. I'll get to do what God sent me here to do." But just think about it. For 23 years, he had to live in a human body. Now, for all those 30 years, the 33 and a half years he was on this earth, he lived as a human being. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He lived, I know sometimes we don't, and I know it's Leonard and I think about these weird things, and we just share them with you when we think about them. But though he didn't have a special life. I mean, he had an ordinary day-to-day life, just like a common person. He wasn't rich. I mean, he didn't live in luxury. He had to work every single day. I think a lot of people think that he was about 16 years old when Joseph died. And as the oldest son, he took over caring for his mother. And so, I just think, here is the Son of God, the one that was there in the beginning of the world that spoke the universe and everything into creation. Okay? I mean, this is him. And for 30 years, he lived in a human body, and for the majority of those years, he knew who he was. And he knew why God sent him. And he knew what his mission was going to be. And I can't help but wonder, you know, the Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we. I wonder how many times he was tempted and said to his Heavenly Father, "Father, I'm 20 years old now. I know why I'm here. I know what you sent me to do. Let me get started. Just let me go ahead and get started." But he was always obedient to the will of his Father. And when John started preaching, I have no biblical basis for this, I think it was pretty close to his birthday when he appeared at the Jordan River to get baptized. I think he was 30, but he might have only been 30 years and one day old when he got there, because he just couldn't wait to get started to do what God sent him to do. So it says, he came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Now, again, one of the other Gospels, I think it's Luke, John said to him when he came and presented himself for baptism, "I have need to be baptized of you. Well, why are you coming to me?" And you remember what Jesus said, we're going to fulfill all righteousness. And we'll talk about in just a minute why Jesus did come to John and get baptized. But look at verse 10. And straightway, now this is one of Mark's favorite words, straightway, immediately. We'll find these words all the way throughout this gospel. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. When I started studying a couple weeks ago, I said, and straightway coming up, that means that John didn't hold him under very long. And straightway, and immediately, he brought him up. But I think I was just kidding there. He didn't hold him under very long, but straightway when he came up out of the water, and by the way, in order to come up out of the water, you got to go in under the water before you can come up out of it. And so I don't know where these guys get the idea that baptism is anything else but dipping people all the way underneath the water and bringing them all the way back up. And that's how Jesus was baptized. He was submersed all the way under and all the way up. And again, why did he get baptized? Remember, John baptized as a symbol that people were repenting from their sin. Jesus had no sin. Again, he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He never committed a sin of commission. He never did anything that was wrong. But he never committed a sin of omission either. He always did what was right. I mean, we probably commit more sins of omission than we do commission. In other words, we probably don't do things that God wants us to do more than we do things that God doesn't want us to do. But Jesus never committed any one of those sins. He always did what God wanted him to do. He never did what God didn't want him to do. So why was he baptized? A couple reasons. First of all, I think he was identifying with sinners. He wanted to identify with those people that came to John to be baptized. He wanted to identify with them that they needed to repent of their sins. He was going to be the payment for sins. And so he came to John, and John said, I don't need to baptize you. I know who you are. You are the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. John was saying, I know you could not be the Lamb of God if you had any sin in your life. I don't need to baptize you for you to show everybody that you're repenting of your sins. And Jesus says, I know, John, but we're going to fulfill all righteousness. I'm going to represent, I'm going to take those people's sins to the cross. I'm going to die for them. I want to identify with them and be baptized. I think he was also telling everybody around that, hey, John's ministry is real. He is the forerunner of Christ that was foretold by the prophets in the Old Testament. This is not one of these fly-by-night guys. This is the real thing. This is the one, the forerunner of Christ that Malachi and the other prophets, and Isaiah and the other prophets in the Old Testament talked about. This is him. I'm coming to him to show you that he is the real thing. And as he did that, I think he was connecting his ministry with John. John was the forerunner. I'm the one coming after him. He was the one that was sent to prepare the way. I'm the one that's going to walk that way. And it was really his baptism that launched his ministry. I mean, this was the first public thing that he did. I think, and again, we don't have it chronologically set out, but I think he was baptized before he turned the water into wine in John chapter 2. I think he was baptized first. I think this was the first public thing that he did in his ministry. And again, we talked about it last week. John's ministry, or John's baptism, was a symbol of when people came and were baptized of John, they were saying, I'm repenting of my sins. I'm turning my back on my sins. I want to take part in this kingdom of God that you're preaching about is coming. I want to be a part of that. Now, Christian baptism is a symbol that I have died to my old way of life in Jesus Christ. I've been buried to that old way of life in Jesus Christ, and I have resurrected to a new way of life in Jesus Christ. And as Jesus was baptized, another thing I think he was doing is, hey, I'm going to picture what I'm going to do so that you can become members of this kingdom of God that John's preaching about. I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to be resurrected to buy your way into the kingdom of God. And so as he was baptized, he was doing all that. And baptism was a transition. I mean, it was John says, he must increase, I must decrease. And from Jesus' baptism on, that's what happened. John's influence went down, Jesus' influence went up. It was a transition from these 30 years that he was patiently waiting to do what God sent him to do, to where it started the 3.5 years where he was very active in carrying out the mission that God wanted him to do. And it was really, his baptism was his dedication to that task. And not only his dedication to the task, but God's dedication of his son to that task. And I think that's what's happening in verse 10 and verse 11. He said, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open. I don't think this was a vision. When it says he saw, I mean, I think he opened, and I don't know if he shut his eyes when he went underneath the water or not, but when he came up out of the water and he looked toward heaven, he saw heaven split open. That's what the words mean. Just heaven split open. And then he saw the Spirit like a dove, a bird, a dove descending on him. And of course, the dove represents purity, it represents meekness, it represents gentleness, but it also was an animal that was sacrificed. In the Old Testament, many of the sacrifices that you brought, especially if you were poor, were doves. And this dove came, and it says, descending up on him. And so that dove represented his character, because he would be pure, he would be meek, he would be gentle, but he would also be a sacrifice. And that word upon really means upon and into. Because here was, and now listen, I want to make sure I get everything in. I'm trying to watch the clock so I can keep my word about quitting a little bit early. The Holy Spirit has always been in the world. I mean, you go back to creation. In the first book of Genesis, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When God made Adam, he said, let us make Adam in our image. And the us is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit. And yet, when he was baptized and he came up out of that water and the dove came down from heaven, I think it was a special anointing of Jesus with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit not only came upon him, but came into him. He never worked a miracle before he was baptized. And the miracles that he worked after he was baptized, he did not as the Son of God, but as a Son of Man indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's why he could say, hey, you've seen all these things I've done. You're going to do greater things than these. Because the same Spirit that I had working in me to perform these miracles is the same Spirit that's going to come in to you. Now, you say, well, don't you think the Spirit was with Jesus before he was baptized? Yes, I do. Just like I think the disciples were disciples before Pentecost. I mean, they did. They went out and preached. They saw people saved before Pentecost. But at Pentecost, when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they went out and they carried Jesus' message to the end of the world. I think the Holy Spirit was with Jesus before he was baptized. But I think he came into him as a man when he was baptized. And again, he lived his life, his public ministry in the Spirit. He was killed in the Spirit. He was buried in the Spirit. He was resurrected in the Spirit. And when he said, look, you've got available to you that same Spirit, the same Spirit that filled me, that Spirit that came from heaven when I got baptized in the form of dove and came on me and into me is the same Spirit. When I get back to heaven, I'm going to send into you. And so we have available to us that same power. All right, verse 11. Let me finish up in a couple of minutes. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Again, at the start of his ministry, what God was saying, this is my Son, and I am pleased. I am pleased with the first 30 years of your life. I am pleased that you are starting your ministry by submitting yourself for baptism. I am pleased with just, you know, with everything that you've done up to this point. And again, we will hear God speak two more times from heaven in the life of Jesus Christ, saying that same thing. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And then in verse 12, and immediately, there is that word again, straightway, immediately, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Now, both Matthew and Luke use the word led him into the wilderness. Mark uses the word driveth. He drove him into the wilderness. Not because Jesus didn't want to go, but that the Holy Spirit was getting Jesus to the wilderness to undergo that time of testing because he knew that that's what Jesus needed as he started his ministry. He needed that time of testing. And again, let me just real quick take a little detour. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He drives us in the time of testing. We don't want to go. I mean, if it was up to us, we would say, I don't want any hardship. I don't want any trials. I don't want any sadness. I don't want anything bad to come into my life. But the Holy Spirit knows we need that. And so he drives us into that time of testing so that we can see that he is able. And with the testing, he never tests us beyond what we're able to stand. He always makes a way of escape. And he drives us into those situations to prepare us, just like that Jesus was being prepared there in the wilderness. I mean, and again, in both Matthew and Luke, they go into a lot of detail about the way he was tempted. Mark handles it in one verse. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. I mean, he was out in the wilderness where the hyenas and the and the bears and wild animals lived. And for 40 days, he was there without food. He was tempted of Satan. Satan tempted him. Look, and all the temptations were about him being the Messiah. All the temptations were, look, go ahead and put God to this test, and put God to this test, and put God to this test. If he had put in God, if he had taken Satan up on any one of his temptations, he would have been walking away from being the Messiah. And in every one of those tests, he rebutted Satan with Scripture. And at the end of those 40 days, the Bible says the angels ministered unto him. It was the Holy Spirit that watched over him those 40 days. It was in the strength of the Holy Spirit that he went through the test. It was in the strength of the Holy Spirit that he was prepared for what God wanted him to do. And he works the same way today. You're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit that resides in you. You got the Holy Spirit when you got saved. And the Holy Spirit directs us and drives us into things that we may not want to be a part of, because he knows that's what we need for God to get us ready to do what he wants us to do. Okay, I'm going to quit early. I wanted to quit earlier, but we still have 2 minutes. Does anybody have a question?